We're going to go to Adam Collins in Sri Lanka. SEN's coverage of the first test between Sri Lanka and Australia continues from 2 p.m. on SEN Fanatic and the SEN app. Australia will resume at 8 for 313, leading by 101 runs. Play to start at an earlier time. So let's actually go to him now, because play is going to start earlier. Gee, there was some drama yesterday with the roof of a grandstand falling down. Adam, how are you? And how did you cope with the monsoon yesterday?
G'day, Dwayne. Yeah, when we spoke, we thought we might get washed away at some point. We basically did. We were on air with Bharat and Fidel, and we realised we had to quickly get off air and decommission the unsafe structure up there. They whipped us out of there and moved us into the president's box. So we've had an improved commentary position as a result of the weather. But speaking of the weather, it's glorious here today. Still windy, but not a cloud in the sky. And yes, they will start on time, I guess, at 65 minutes from now for an extended third day.
So what do you think will happen on this extended third day?
I think Cummins will keep going. I mean, Australia went at better than 5 and over yesterday. In, you know, you wouldn't expect that in these kind of conditions where the ball's turning square, but they seem to have a plan. All of them had a game plan. In the case of Green, it was dancing, using his feet and trying to pick out the sweepers like a one-day international. Carey swept from the get-go. I think he swept his first 5 deliveries. We saw Pat Cummins hit a couple of bombs before the close. One into the fort, actually, hit the road and bounced into the walls of the fort. So I would say that their game plan yesterday of scoring quickly served them well, so why not let the good times roll with the captain seeing it well? He's 26 not out already with 3 sixes. And from there, if they get a lead of anywhere above 130, 140, they'll probably fancy themselves at bowling out Sri Lanka inside 2 sessions and maybe wrapping it up today. That would be the best case scenario.
But they won't be thinking necessarily along those lines. Or, I mean, you're the one with the weather report. Is the following day looking dodgy?
No, it's not so much about that as much as it is while they're riding the wave as they were yesterday to take full advantage. Yep. And remember that Sri Lanka were bowled out in 59 overs on day one, and the pitch is only going to get worse. And Nathan Lyon bowled splendidly on that first day, and Mitch Swepson's in the game as well. So they might create the chance to win the game today because we're playing 98 overs. They'll have more time in the day. And if they can take their 10 wickets, it'll be game over, because I just can't see Sri Lanka doing what's needed, which is probably batting for 5 sessions. Well, yeah, I just can't see how they achieve that with the team they've got on the park this week.
And a broader question, Adam, the feel in Sri Lanka at the moment, the feel of having cricket there and you touring there, what's it been like?
It's pretty tough out there. I just walked to the ground from the fort then, and there are gas cylinders lined up as a protest around the ground, empty gas cylinders, which is pretty confronting when you see hundreds of cylinders around, like circumnavigating the ground here at Gaul. There is a queue for fuel, which must be a kilometre long. I was told some people are waiting in that queue for 72 hours for fuel. You can't get fuel if you are driving a private vehicle now, only if you're a transport vehicle or a government vehicle. So, I mean, there's knock-on effects from that. Cooking gas is there's a huge shortage of that as well. So, yeah, look, we're trying to engage with that in our broadcast with Andrew Fidel Fernando, who's a writer, author around all manner of Sri Lankan affairs in addition to cricket, and he's been able to extrapolate and elaborate on this as we've gone through the first couple of days. But it's pretty grim out here. They're getting an emergency delivery of fuel next week, and they think that might in the short term help, but the systemic issues remain. There were protesters kicked off the fort yesterday. You would think that peaceful protest outside of a cricket ground, remembering that the fort isn't actually inside the ground, it's behind where we are, that would be permitted. But the police dragged the protesters off the fort. So it's some parts of this are quite grim.
So worse than you predicted it would be by the sounds of things?
I think that it's more, it's in your face. Everybody, you know, we're at dinner last night, there's a blackout for an hour and a half, and you're just conditioned to that now. And the locals are just rolling with it. I mean, they're really glad the Australian cricket team are here, don't get me wrong. This is, for those who follow cricket, and there is some respite that generates some economic activity, but equally, I think there's a much bigger picture here too, that locals know that it's going to be a long way back for them here. The crisis has been brought on so quickly. I mean, this happened in the space of about 8 to 9 months, and it was exacerbated by the Ukraine war. So, of course, they couldn't control what happened over there. But, yeah, this went from being, I mean, when I last visited here in 2016, it was akin to a tropical paradise, and it's very much not that now.
I was going to say great to talk to you, Adam, but sounds like it's pretty tough for the I'm glad I asked the question, but
tough. I should say though, once you're actually here at the cricket, I mean, the people who are here are loving being here, and it barely cost a dollar to get in. So we've had good attendances so far, and hopefully throughout the 2 weeks, it can form some sort of distraction from the broader challenges of life right now.
Yeah, best wishes to the local people who are going through it. Now, Adam, great to have you on the program, and you can catch day three on the SEN app from 2 p.m. with the first ball bowled at 2:15.